And Margaret joins me now for more. Margaret, thank you for that report. So what explains the shift in Russia's thinking? First, Putin saying, no, we don't want to believe that this was an act of terror, but now they're suspending flights.
Well, Judy, Putin is one of the two leaders involved here who has the most to lose economically and but mostly politically. One Russian said to me today, you know, this isn't just a human question, a security question, but a deeply political one. So he's in a dilemma, or he has felt in a dilemma, because here he is with his adventure into Syria. And in fact, he was asked on Russian TV just within the last 2 weeks, does this put us at risk? He said flatly, absolutely not. So if it does turn out he's a greater risk, that's the problem. Then people close to the Kremlin told me also that if that's the conclusion, he wants to be ready with a plan, sort of like George W. Bush after 9/11. So the Ministry of Defense is working on a lot of contingency plans, and I'm told that there's a huge movement of Russian assault ships moving into the eastern Mediterranean. That said, the Russians have investigators on the ground. The people they sent are from the FSB, which is essentially the KGB successor. They must have seen something that overnight made them recommend to Putin that you've got to protect Russian citizens. And as somebody said to me, if he didn't, and he didn't say anything, and there were another attack, there would really be hell to pay.
So, Margaret, you've also got this discrepancy with the Egyptians not wanting to believe that there was a bomb, that there was terror involved, but you've got European countries saying something different, saying they have reason to think there may well have been.
Yes, and in fact, the reports from France today, they're unsourced, that the French investigators, the only investigators on the ground, Judy, are the Russians, the Egyptians, and the French. Like, the U.S. is not there. So that the French have come to that conclusion. But that's sourced reports. So for President Sisi, there's so much at stake. First of all, what a blow to their last remaining tourism industry. I mean, Sharm el-Sheikh was really it at this point. But secondly, he won election after taking power in what many consider a coup, saying, I'm the general, I can protect us from terrorism. In fact, terrorism has increased. He keeps saying and asserting, we have total control over Sinai. Well, they don't. Jihadist groups are much more active there than they were. And one of them declared allegiance to the Islamic State. So they're really in a bind. They insist, and I talked to an Egyptian, someone close to the government today, who said it really isn't definitive information, but, you know, also he will pay a huge political price. Yet, I'm told there's a recognition on the part of that government that if they wait too long and the whole rest of the world's come to a conclusion, they'll look like they're hiding something.
But in the meantime, you also have daylight between what the Brits are saying, the British are saying, and what the U.S., the British are saying, well, we think there's likely reason to believe it was a bomb. The U.S. is saying, no, we're not ready to make that declaration.
To me, Judy, that was in a way the most fascinating sort of conundrum, because I'm told the U.S. and the British are looking at the exact same set of intelligence. It clearly points to it being a bomb.